Good morning. For those who might be visiting and those who can't remember, my name is John Garrett, and my special duty here today is to welcome you here, and a very special welcome to anyone who might be visiting. Now, you might notice that I've always been a paper person, and today I'm on a high-tech iPad like our Pastor Nigel and Sandra and a few others that use a device. Now, it's not by choice because last Friday when I'm getting all myself organised and print out my gear for the today, printer jammed. And it was a horrific jam and I couldn't unjam it. And so I said, well, I might have to go high tech. And so I have. So we like to think about what's happened in the past week. And on Wednesday, the leaders of the church gathered here at the hall. And we're delightfully fed by our chair, Mark, who put on a nice pizza and few refreshments. I think some of them were a little alcoholic, but that's okay. And so we talked about the dreaming that we've been talking about, that Nigel's been talking about for the last few weeks. And now you'll see a whole lot of notices stuck on the back window. And a bit later on after the service, Mark, our chair, will talk about it for you. So that's been a special night. And we've got to think about the week ahead as well, and you've got to have your reports in for our book of reports for the AGM coming up in February. Although those who haven't done it yet, community news, you can QR it if you know how to do it, like I can't, and you'll find information there found on your email. So now we come to the serious part. And we have an opening for our service. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false gods. Many, Lord my God, are the wonders you have done, the things you planned for us. None can compare with you. Where I speak and tell of your deeds, they would be too many to declare. Now we welcome Derek and his beautiful daughter Jasmine to the piano and the microphone, and we will sing Hosanna.
I see the King of Glory coming on the clouds with fire. The whole earth shakes. I've seen his love and mercy watching over all our sin. The people sing, the people sing. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna.
morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Great to see you gathered together as the church called out from the world to be God's holy people today. A few moments ago when John gathered us for worship, he shared with us the testimony of Psalm 40. As we worship today, we celebrate God's saving work for his assembled people. We will speak of his faithfulness, for it's his love and his faithfulness that is the very reason we gather together to worship. For it is by his grace that he has declared you to be his righteous and holy children. And so we remember that we are his, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God's children gather together. And around Victor Harbour today, there are many places where God's children are gathering together. But in 2 weeks' time, God's people here in Victor Harbour are all going to gather together to pray together for our 2026 Pray Together gathering. That's on the 1st of February, 3:30, down at Encounter College. And to help you prepare for that day, two of my colleagues here in town have prepared a very special video to share with you.
Last year, as the Christian Churches of the South Coast, we came together on the first weekend in February to seek God's heart for our neighbourhood and our churches as we prayed and worshipped together as one church.
We prayed for our churches, we prayed for our community, we prayed for those who are in need, we prayed for our chaplains, we prayed for our schools, we prayed for our businesses. We're believing God that he would do an amazing work right here in Victor Harbour.
It was so great to be together with representatives across all the churches of the coast, singing with one voice, praying with one heart. There was a sense of unity, there was a sense of togetherness, there was a sense of anticipation of what could be and what God might do in our region in the year ahead. And we're looking forward to that again this year too.
But we know that God's not done. There is more for our community. So this year, on February 1st, we'd love you to join us as we gather again at Encounter Lutheran, the church coming together and praying that God's kingdom would be right here in Victor Harbour.
Bayside Church, Victor Harbour.
Christian Gospel Centre.
Victor Harbour Salvos.
Victor Harbour Church of Christ.
Exalt Church, Port Elliot.
Yuki Uniting Church.
St. John of Arc Catholic Parish, Victor Harbour. St. John the Apostle Catholic Church in Woolwan.
South Coast Congregation Church.
Yankton Parish at the South Coast.
Victor Harbour Lutheran Church.
Newland Port Elliot Uniting Church in Victor Harbour.
Adair Uniting Church.
Trinity Church. Futures Church, Victor Harbour.
Victor Harbour Baptist Church.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us.
Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
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 So, hope to see you there, 1st of February, 3:30 at Encounter Lutheran College. Let's now prepare our hearts to hear God's word today, and I invite Anne Ford to share the word for us.
Our first reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be his holy people, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way, with all kinds of speech and with all knowledge, God thus confirming our testimony about Christ among you. Therefore you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will also keep you firm to the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our second reading comes from John chapter 1. The next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, 'A man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel." Then John gave this testimony. "I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him, and I myself did not know him. But the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' I have seen and I testify that this is God's chosen Son." The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning round, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 PM. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is, the Christ." And he took him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which, when translated, is Peter. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Anne. Friends, there are so many different types of writing, aren't there? There's reporting, there's storytelling, there's persuasive and creative writing. And today you have heard two different types of writing as Anne has shared God's word for us today. One of the most popular styles of writing that has been around for a very long time is that of letter writing. Still today, people send and receive letters, often written in paper form, but nowadays even more so in electronic form. But tell me, how do you know when you are reading a letter? How do you know when you are reading a letter and not something else?
It begins with a salutation.
It begins with a salutation, maybe. Thank you, Sandra. Anyone else like to add a comment to that? How do you know you are reading a letter? What's the most obvious thing at the very start of the letter?
It's personalised.
It's personalised. It is. And often a letter will make it very clear at the very start who the letter is from. There is no such thing as a legitimate anonymous letter. Letters always say who they are from. And the letter will always say who it is to. It reflects relationship. Well, today we are about to start a journey. We're going to start a journey for 4 weeks in one particular letter. And at the start of this letter, we've already heard today in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 that Paul is writing a letter to the people of Corinth. And boy, is it nice when you receive a letter from someone and you know who it is from and that you know that it's written to you. It is so precious to receive personal letters. Can you think of someone who took the time to write a personal letter to you and addressed it to you and made it so clear that it's from them? Can you think of a time when you've received a letter like that? It's nice to receive them in the mail, although we probably don't receive them very often unless it's a Christmas letter or something like that. In the Bible, did you realise that a third of the books of the Bible are in fact letters? Letters of love written by someone who knows the Lord Jesus and written to a particular community. 22 books, in fact, are letters. And so for these next 4 weeks, we are looking at one particular letter. The letter St. Paul wrote to the Corinthians. Some parts of these letters will speak specifically to a time and a place, but almost everything in the letters can relate in some way to us today and can teach us God's plan and God's will for our life too. And so my prayer for you is that as we go on this journey for the next 4 weeks into Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, that you may be blessed, that you may be encouraged by God's grace for you. So before we go deeper, let's sing about that now.
My Lord. Now pray, pray for the offering. Faithful God, we thank you for calling us to be your holy people in fellowship with your Son. Take our lives and our possessions and use them for your service. Amen. Now I pray for Nigel. Father God, we thank you for Nigel and his love of you and your word. We thank him for preaching the grace and peace we can have with our faith in Jesus. We pray that God's Spirit will guide and direct him as he gives his message to us today. And Lord, open our ears, our hearts and minds so that we can receive the benefits and blessings of his message. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, John. Bring grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Kalos Tous. Welcome aboard this tour bus in beautiful Athens. On today's tour, we are going to be following part of the second missionary journey of the Apostle Paul. And today it's my pleasure to be your guide. Today, we are going to take a brief look at a place in Athens, and then we are going to quickly travel down to Corinth. It's about an 83-kilometre journey between Athens and Corinth. We're going to spend a moment there before we hop on a boat and sail across the Aegean Sea to Ephesus. So, come aboard. Come aboard on the tour as we follow the journey of the Apostle Paul on his second missionary journey. Now, as you look out your window of the bus, you will see the Areopagus in Athens. Isn't it an outstanding piece of ancient architecture? And it was at that place that the Apostle Paul experienced great distress over the idol worship that existed in the country of that day. It was in this place that Paul was able to preach and teach on the true nature of God, using even the words of the Greek poets. Words like, in him we live and move and have our being. We are his offspring. It was at the Areopagus that Paul proclaimed God's call for people to repent and declared how God will judge the world by the man appointed who was raised from the dead. It was there at the Areopagus in Athens that Paul gained some followers. Now, at the end of Paul's time in Athens, where did he go? He went to Corinth. So, Palmer, let's go. Hop back on the bus. We're going to keep going. In Corinth, Paul lived and worked as a tent maker. He was there from about 50 AD to 52 AD. And he worked and reasoned with a couple of Jewish tent makers named Aquila and Priscilla. And on the Sabbath, he then reasoned at the synagogue. As you look out the bus windows, you will see the harbour of Corinth. And you'll realise that Corinth was an amazing city port. And in this city, there were at least 12 temples to Greek gods, plus a Jewish synagogue. Now, the most famous temple to the Greek gods, and I don't know if I should be telling you this or not, was the goddess of love, Aphrodite. And there were even religious prostitutes that served in this temple. And so as a result, Corinth was a place of great immorality. But in reality, the challenges that Corinth lived with probably aren't that different to the challenges that we experience in our modern world today. When Paul arrived in Corinth, he spent time devoting himself to preaching to the Jewish community in Corinth. He focused on preaching that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, the Saviour of the world. But when the Jews opposed him and became abusive, he shook his hands high and shook out his clothes in protest and said to them, "Your blood be on your heads. I am clear of my responsibility. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles." So guess what Paul did? He left the synagogue and he went to the house next door to a guy called the house of Titius Justus. He was a Gentile worshipper of God. And it was from this house that many of the Corinthian people heard and believed the good news of Jesus and were baptized. And this even included Crispus and his family. Crispus and his family, well, Crispus was the leader of the synagogue next door. How cool is that? One night, Paul heard from the Lord. He heard the Lord speaking to him in a vision. The Lord said to Paul, "Don't be afraid. Keep on speaking. Don't be silent, for I am with you. And no one is going to attack and harm you, because I have made many people, because I have many people in this city." It was through this vision that the Lord gave to Paul that Paul stayed in Corinth for 18 months, relying upon God's protection and the provision that God would provide to him through his people. Yet still, the Jewish people in that city had issue with Paul. And the new synagogue leader, whose name was Sosthenes, tried to have Paul charged for persuading the people to worship God in ways that were contrary to the Jewish law. But Gallio, the proconsul in the city of Corinth, dismissed their complaints. And so instead, they had Sosthenes beaten instead. So Paul stayed there in Corinth for a whole 18 months, living under the protection and provision of the one true God. After 18 months in Corinth, he then went across to Ephesus. So, Palmy, let's now hop off the bus, jump on the boat, and go for that journey across the Aegean Sea. And now as we arrive here in Ephesus, you'll notice the grandeur of Ephesus. It was a rather significant city too. In fact, it was the most important port and trade centre in the area of Asia Minor. And it was while Paul was in Ephesus, maybe around 55 to 57 AD, that Paul wrote his letter back to the Church of God in Corinth. And friends, today you have heard the opening words of Paul's letter. Now remember that bloke called Sosthenes, the synagogue ruler who was giving Paul a hard time in Corinth? I wonder what happened to him after he was beaten. It could just have been that he had a change of heart towards Paul and converted to being a follower of Jesus. It just may be that he had gone with Paul to Ephesus. For you notice in the letter that when Paul writes to the city, to the Church of God in the city of Corinth, the person who is assisting Paul with the writing of this letter also has the name Sosthenes. It could be the same person, but the mystery remains. But as soon as you start unpacking this Greek name, Sosthenes, we start to see something really special. You see, in this name we have the idea of salvation and strength. His name alone represents a man whose security is now found in God's power rather than in human resources. Now, when Paul wrote back to his friends in Corinth, he knew the challenges that this young church was facing. You see, the church was still plagued inside and out with immorality. Yet take note of how Paul speaks to his people in Corinth as he opens. Paul celebrates how God rescues, how God strengthens, how God employs his people to advance his gospel. And God has willed his kingdom to grow through the proclamation of his gospel. So after mentioning that this letter is from Paul and Sosthenes, it's made so clear that Paul is writing to his church in Corinth, the church of God in Corinth. And what do we mean by church? Well, the church is the people that God has called out to be holy, holy in Jesus. And that wonderful Greek word for church is ekklesia, a people called out from the world and brought before God as his holy people. And all of you who look to Jesus as your Saviour and trust in his redeeming work are part of the one true church. You who trust in Jesus are God's redeemed, called out people from the world, assembled before him as holy and blameless. And that includes you, the people of Victor Lutheran. You are part of the church, the body of Christ in the city of Victor Harbour. And you are part of a much bigger body of people who together are one before God. Together we call upon the name of the Lord Jesus and live as his body on earth. Each local gathering of God's people is fully church, yet no part of his body is ever independent from the whole. How wonderful it is that all people who look to Jesus Christ, the Son of God and Saviour, is part of the one true church. The church in Corinth is reminded now that they stand together and are called holy together with all people everywhere who call on the name of the Lord Jesus. In Jesus, we are all saints, regardless of our flaws. You and I have been called holy, not because of our conduct, but because of our relationship to Jesus Christ. Now, when Paul greeted the people of Corinth in his letter, he greets them with his grace. In fact, in verses 3 and 4, there are three big references to grace. The first one's so obvious: grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace is God's favour. It's God leaning towards us, extending himself to us, God coming to serve us. How amazing God's grace is. Katapliktikos. Amazing. And then there's peace. Peace being that wholeness and harmony and well-being granted by God and experienced among his people because his grace has filled us in every way. And then there's another reference to grace. It's hidden in the word giving thanks to God. The Greek word here, Eucharistos, literally declares God's grace is good. It is a statement that celebrates that God's grace works well. It does exactly what it is sent to do. His grace brings healing. His grace brings wholeness into our lives and relationships. It provides us with his eternal gifts. And God's gifts of grace given to us give glory back to God. Paul here is so thankful for God's gifts of grace that he has given to us in Jesus. And why do God's gifts of grace work so well? It's because God's grace surrounds us and enriches us with all words and knowledge. And wherever grace is given and received, there is a confirmation that Jesus is among us. And so, friends, on this journey with me, your identity is found in the grace of God alone. At the very heart of being church anywhere and everywhere is that you and I have been called out to discover the grace of God and the new identity that Christ has given to us. And we have been brought into fellowship with God. And there, in his fellowship, we discover the amazing nature of God. That God is not like those statues and idols. God is truly alive and he is truly faithful. And that together as the body of Christ, we lack nothing. We no longer lack anything. None of us are inferior to the other. We are all of equal worth in the grace of God. None of us are lacking. Together, the Lord has equipped us with every spiritual gift that we need, that we may experience life together in a community of grace. And so, as we go on this tour today, remember this. Together, we lack nothing. To lack is to fall short. To lack is to be in need. To lack is to fail. But we, the church, when we live and work together as a community of grace, serving the city in which we live, we lack nothing. When we live together as part of one Christian community in our town, we lack nothing. When we all take our place and work together in God's grace, trusting in Jesus for our salvation, we are strengthened and we have everything we need. Friends, it's only when we isolate ourselves from the body or when we compare ourselves to others that then we are plagued with those feelings of being inferior. It's then that we fall short and are left lacking. When we rely upon ourselves, we are in fact worshipping the idol of self-reliance, and we fall short. But here's another little secret on the tour. When we confess to each other the ways we fall short and the ways that we lack on our own, something amazing happens. Believers are driven back to Christ, who alone is full of grace and truth. And he again fills us with his grace in every single way. Together we learn that we are better together, and his grace fills us all. Yeah, I know when you travel on your own, sometimes you feel as if you are lacking. We may feel that we are not enough. But the good news is that God has entered into our world, and he has drawn us together, extending his grace and peace to us all. And so how wonderful, even while we're on this tour together, that we can confess our shortfalls and we can experience God's grace and peace transforming us and becoming a testimony of his grace. It's the compassion that Jesus supplies that always fills you and me. For in him we lack nothing, for he has fulfilled the law of love. Katapliktikos. How awesome it is that on the canvas of life, where we on our own feel that we shall fall short and lack, our God comes to us and paints a picture of redemption. Where lack and shortfall once were found, there God's grace already abounds. And so, friends, I marvel at what Paul has written to us in our opening words, how he speaks of God's grace and peace, how he has declared us to be his holy people in Jesus, how Jesus makes us blameless. He has dealt with our sin. He has dealt with our shortfall, our lack, and he has done so by flooding us with his grace, so that we may remain holy and above reproach, and so God the Father can never accuse us. It is God and his faithfulness alone that will sustain you and I on this tour forever. God's gifts of grace is the source of your identity too. It is his grace which is your foundation, the foundation of your calling to live together as his body in this city. And so, friends, thank you for joining us on this tour today. As we continue, maybe next week on the tour, may we know that in Christ and his grace, we lack nothing, for God is faithful and he has redeemed us all. And remember, there is always more to enjoy with Jesus. And the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds safe in Christ Jesus to life eternal. Amen.
Praise his name forever. please join me now as a community together as we pray. Loving God, we want to open up even more to your love. Take us by the hand and show us all those places we might serve. Shoot us like an arrow where you would have us go. Be our strength. God, be our glow. We give thanks, God, for the people in our communities, serving each day without pomp or fanfare. For those who shape and care for our children. For those who bring order and promote safety in our community. For those who tend and grow food and help to see it, that there is food that ends up on our plates. Every day, people everywhere give and serve and labour and care. We take a moment to pause to appreciate the gift and the radiance of this work. We allow God to bring to our mind some of the people who have shared their light with us this week. We give thanks for those that God has brought to our minds. We hold them in our hearts and pray for their sustenance, well-being and encouragement. Be their strength, God, be their glow. We give thanks for the small miracles that allow us to be a community functioning and cooperating for the privilege of playing our part in it all. Be our strength, God. Be our glow. We give thanks for our church leaders and the ministries God has called them to lead. For clarity of direction as they seek God's will for our congregation. Holy Spirit, flow through each one of us to follow the calling that you are placing upon us of how we each can serve you and our community. Give us the confidence to step out in faith. Lord, you are the ultimate healer. We ask through faith healing for all who are sick, physically, mentally, and spiritually. Teach and encourage us to pray over those who are seeking your healing. Holy Spirit, infill Pastor Nigel and Amelia, who are currently discerning God's will for to either stay here in Victor Harbour or return to Emmanuel Nova Gardens. Lord, may we all live in God's grace together as God's holy people. Comfort all who are consumed by the worries and concerns of the prevailing culture in our world. For all who are impacted by natural disasters and wars. Today we think of those who have been impacted by floods and fires in our country. We uphold to you the teachers and school staff, students and families who are preparing to start the new school year. Lord, speak to each one of us about the words we use and how we use them to each other. Let us be mindful of the power these words have, the power to build others up, the power to crush people's hearts. The power to encourage and the power to discourage. The power to stubbornly include and the power to stubbornly exclude. Lord, let your Spirit fill us to use our words with love and care, seeking always to use them for positive results and letting your light shine. Jesus, prepare our hearts for what you have for us next and give us hearts of faith to go where you are calling us to go. Amen.
And so we pray together the prayer that Jesus has taught us to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Friends, Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. We heard those declarations in our gospel reading today. So let's take a moment to ask Jesus to take away our sin, that we may continue to live as his holy people. I invite you into a time of silent prayer before I lead you deeper into our time of being put right with God. Lord Jesus, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Hear the prayers of your people. Do not withhold your mercy from us, Lord. Rather, take away our sin and continue to sustain us as your holy people together. May your love and faithfulness always protect us and provide for us. Grant us your peace all the days of our life. Amen. I ask each of you in the presence of God who searches the heart, do you confess that you have sinned and do you repent of your sins?
Amen.
Do you believe that Jesus Christ has redeemed you from all your sins and do you desire forgiveness in his name?
Amen.
And do you intend with the help of the Holy Spirit to live as in God's presence and to strive daily to lead a holy life even as Christ has already made you holy? Friends, as a called and ordained servant of the word, I announce the grace of God to each of you. On behalf of my Lord Jesus Christ and by his command, I forgive you all your sin. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. God's peace be with you. Amen. Let's give thanks. Almighty God, we give you thanks that your grace fills us by the work of Jesus so that we together lack nothing. Come, Holy Spirit, and do your work in our lives as we receive your grace once again in this holy meal. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup after the supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of your sin. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Here at Victor Harbour, we love to celebrate this meal of grace regularly. And so we invite you forward to receive the body of Christ in the bread and to receive the blood of Christ in the wine or juice. After you've received both, feel free to leave your empty cups on the trays to the side before returning to your seats via the side aisles. Our ushers will help us as we come forward. I invite forward those who are assisting with our meal today. Indeed, the body of Christ given for you, the body of Christ given for you. And take and drink the blood of Christ shed for you for the forgiveness of sin.
Thou art the King of Israel.
sang the hymns of praise to thee, now high exalted our melody.
Saved me, to the one who saved me.
brothers and sisters in Christ, the body of our Lord Jesus Christ and his precious blood strengthen you and preserve you and protect you in body and in soul to life eternal. Go in peace. Amen. Almighty and merciful God, it is by your loving kindness alone that you accept us and call us to serve you. Strengthen us by this sacrament and make us worthy of our calling. We ask this through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Today in the Word we have heard the promise that God will strengthen you to the end, so that you may be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have heard that God is faithful, for by him you are called into the fellowship of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Celebrating those promises, we go in his blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favour and give you peace. Amen. I invite you to stand for our closing song today.
What is the truth that ever anchors me amidst the waves of shed his blood and pardon me at the
Well, thank you for all of the people who've made this a great service, particularly Nigel for his presentation and journey. Great. Nigel, you're not Nigel, you're Derek and Jasmine. Or he's a great pianist and I love listening to your music. I was reflecting a minute ago about my frustration with my printer last Friday, and I just want to say that the words of forgiveness were special to me today. I'm on a new device. This is my backup. And it's, there we go. Now, we've got some prayer afterwards. Di, I think, Di Welk will be over on our right, looking after you for some personal prayer. Coffee is available today, so stay and share that. And there's also a visitor's book, and I see a couple of visitors with us today, so don't forget to record your presence here, and you can probably make a comment on Nigel's sermon. And before Mark comes up, I'll just say a few words of our going out. Go in peace. Our Lord Jesus Christ will keep you strong to the end. Amen. Welcome, Mark.
Thanks, John. Two things before I start. And I'm not joking when I say this. Printers caused me to change my career. So I feel every piece of pain you have with that printer, John. The second thing was we weren't meant to mention the alcohol content of the meal. But I promise you we were all very responsible. So earlier this week, a bunch of us got together, so the management team and the senior pastoral assistants, we got together to do a little bit of dreaming, essentially. And a lot of you submitted thoughts on interest to read, and we read them all, and we took them all into account, and it was great to see there was actually a lot of harmony and crossover between the submissions that we received. There was a lot of common points that got hit in those submissions, so that was wonderful. So thank you to everybody who sent a submission in. The results of our dreaming are on the wall outside. They're on the glass out there. The different colours just represent the different groups. There's no deeper meaning beyond that. Just all the purple ones came from one group, all the blue ones came from another group. Feel free to have a look, have a read. They are just titles and summaries. There's not a huge amount of depth in them. So don't read too much into something. If you think that something on there might not make sense, come and ask somebody about it, see if you can get more context on it. But if you see something that's on there that you disagree with, or if you don't see something that you feel strongly about, there are pieces of paper next to the windows, and you are more than welcome to put your own ideas on those pieces of paper and stick them up on the headings where you think they belong. If you have thoughts and feelings that match one that's already on there, you don't need to write a new one. You can actually reinforce the ones that are already there by taking a little green sticker. There's a bunch of dots that you can see over there, and you can just put a dot against the ones that you strongly agree with, and then we're essentially doubling or tripling or however many dots that get. That will sort of tell us what the priorities from the congregation are amongst the ones that you've read. So they're not going to stay up forever. This week and next week are probably the only weeks that they're going to be up there. So as you're out there having a coffee, feel free to have a wander, have a read, and if you feel compelled, take a piece of paper, write one up, or take a dot and stick it on the ones that you feel are critical, and we'll go from there. There's a lot of big dreams on there. Some of them are really big. So, you know, don't be too scared if you see them. I'd say that some of them are as big as the dreaming you had in the 80s when we moved here. So just keep that in mind. They are just... they're big ideas, thinking about the next 5 to 10 years. Thanks, everybody. John sat down, so I think we're good to go. Yeah. Thanks, Derek. One day I'll stand.